The road to salvation is paved with good deeds. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Down the road is paved with good corpses. Join us in a free podcast novel that lets the audience decide the character's fate. In a world where destinies are controlled by living maps and dust storms can eat your lover as you hold them in your arms, Alice must find the balance between love and vengeance and between salvation and satisfaction.
Are the voices in my head trying to help me or kill me? They won't stop and they keep growing louder.
Take part of the madness before it's too late. Down the Road is part of the 12 Volt Theater Podcast. Just go to jackjaffe.com, JACKJAFFEE.com, or look up Jack Jaffe in iTunes.
You're listening to episode 21 of The Gear Heart. I'm your reader, writer, and host, Alex White. Renee White is the voice of our female characters. Are you listening to The Extraordinary Contraptions? I am. They're a fantastic, steampunk-themed band from Atlanta, and they're all analog. If you have the chance to see them live, they're a real treat. If you're interested in their music, you can find them at www.theextraordinarycontraptions.com. If you haven't had a chance yet, or you're listening on iTunes, you can stop by the Gearheart blog and interact at www.thegearheart.com. Or you can email me directly at alex@thegearheart.com. Don't forget that you can also follow us on Twitter, username TheGearHeart. And now, settle in, pour a cup of tea, and enjoy as we bring you more tales of The Gearheart. Last time, on The Gearheart, Darren reveals his deepest secret to Isabel, that his true name is Wylan. Could this be the confession prophesied to him so long ago on the ship? The Hangman's apprentice, Astrid Blauvelt, finds herself doubting her mission and wondering if she can do her master's bidding. Will the Hangman sway her thoughts? Find out on The Gearheart. Stern agent stood before Jonathan when he opened the door from the underground. Somehow, the bespectacled newcomer had found his way straight to their party, even though Jonathan had operated under total secrecy. In the busy hallway between the infirmary and the barracks, the agent handed Jonathan a letter as unceremoniously as one would serve a subpoena. Behind him, seekers and palace personnel alike made their way to their respective destinations.
"This is for you, Harbinger Andrews," he said, jamming the envelope into Jonathan's hand and spinning to leave.
For a moment, Jonathan thought he saw a tear in the stranger's eye.
"What is it?"
asked Cog. Maeve didn't bother to ask. She crowded in and looked over Jonathan's shoulder. Headmaster Wilkinson kept his distance, waiting patiently for his charge to announce the contents of the letter. Jonathan opened the letter, and the very first words locked into his brain, like pythons into a glacier.
"Dearest Jonathan, I am dead."
Jonathan knew that only the seeress would write a letter so absurdly straightforward. He felt a burning in his nose, and his eyelids lapped at the air as he blinked away tears. He had barely even met her, and yet he couldn't stop imagining her smile.
"I am sorry for this, as I would have liked for you to know me better. I have been privileged to watch you these years, and I am sorry we did not meet in person sooner. I am proud of what you did for Augustus. It will be the last thing I see, and I wouldn't have it any other way. To have one of my children so bravely rescue another makes me overflow with love for all of you. To that end, I hope you leave the tunnels the way that you entered, because I am not sure where else to send this courier. In a lot of ways, this uncertainty is a breath of fresh air. I am so tired of living a life out of the frame of time. Jonathan, I want you to know that the days ahead will be filled with loss. I don't know that with any certainty. I just know with what you are dealing. I want you to be strong for yourself and for the Lady Antonello, who will need you now more than ever. Headmaster Wilkinson, Augustus, and Darren will also be lost without you. I know it. You must be by Isabel's side. Listen to everything she says without any judgment. Let her pour out anything in her heart and hold her hand when she speaks. She is cold, Jonathan. Warm her. Lastly, I must give you my warrant. You shall remain Harbinger until Nicholas Antonello's head lies upon the tallest table in the council chambers. He must die, Jonathan, that all may live. I am sorry to ask this of you. This letter will serve as your letter of mark and a sign of his doom. Present it to any seeker who would question you. Lastly, tell the Lady Antonello that she will see Wyland again soon. It cannot wait any longer. Yours in love, Esmeralda.
Jonathan's face blanched. He didn't know why he was so afraid to tell Cog about Wyland. He just knew that when he spoke those words, everything would change. Wyland could have been anyone. He could have been an old friend. Maybe he was an old lover. Maybe this Wyland was another Antonello, coming to kill them both. The Seeress's statement, "The hangman is the last Antonello," rang out in his mind. Jonathan shivered and unconsciously felt the old wound in his side where the poisonous family's dagger once bit him.
"She's dead?"
Maeve sputtered. "I'm afraid it's true," whispered Jonathan, trying not to alert the people around them. "The Seeress, she's dead."
"Oh, Jonathan,"
said Cog.
"I'm sorry."
Cog put a heavy hand on his shoulder, but its cool weight didn't comfort him. Jonathan was afraid of her. Keegan bowed his head, and Maeve sat down with her back to the wall.
"This is serious."
"Agent Manners, you don't know the half of it," replied Keegan. "We don't know with whom we're dealing."
"We're dealing with the last Antonello," said Jonathan, his lips quivering and his voice failing slightly. "The hangman, he's the last Antonello." And for a moment, the other people in the hallway seemed to be nothing more than falling raindrops. Busy officiates, agents, butlers, and clerks faded into the space around Jonathan and Cog, and he saw the awful radiance in her widening eyes. The pink irises shrunk to pinpricks, though the stunned look never left her mouth. Someone brushed too close, the wind in the wake of their passage rifling the locks of her hair. Cog was some combination of fury, fear, vengeance, and love that boiled into an unknowable cauldron. The arcane circuits in her hands activated, and Jonathan could see little waves of magic skittering over her fists. Her lips didn't tremble. Her eyes didn't gloss with tears. Her pallid face remained a facade for the roaring heart underneath. Keegan pried his way into the scene by raising a finger as though he were going to speak. Cog's eyes did not even alight upon his form before he reconsidered. Maeve looked as though she knew something. It was clear in her eyes, that look of worry that broke the spell.
"I recall the Seeress mentioning it,"
said Cog, her tone chilling Jonathan's heart.
"Who is it that still lives?"
Jonathan's scar itched more than ever. He remembered Harold Antonello's face and the fire in that alchemist's eyes when he plunged the dagger into Jonathan's gut. Harold was Cog's distant nephew, removed by hundreds of years. But nothing had changed. Those same dragons raged in Cog's eyes now. "Cog," Jonathan said. "Cog, I..."
Out with it, Jonathan.
He stuttered. I don't really know which one it is, Cog. I thought we, well...
I thought we killed them all, too,
said Cog, stepping closer. Jonathan felt the power of her presence as she moved closer, crushing him like a steel press as he shrunk away. Cog, it's just that the Cirrus said the hangman was the last Antonello, Jonathan said. And I thought you should know.
You were right.
It's Nicholas Antonello, Cog,
shouted Manners, suddenly involving everyone in the hallway.
Astrid called your hangman Nicholas, so his name is Nicholas.
Cog's fury turned to wet ash, and her eyes grew tired. Her lips parted into a betrayed frown, and her face took on the look of one who has wept for years. She swayed a bit like a dead tree in the winter breeze.
No, he's dead.
Who? Jonathan began, but trailed off.
He's the killer, Cog.
Maeve apprehensively stepped closer.
I'm afraid it's...
But the breath in Maeve's lungs couldn't make it out as Cog's hand suddenly clasped around her throat. A million threats coursed from Cog's reignited eyes directly into the soul of Agent Manners. Maeve weakly tried to pry at Cog's hand, but it was as useless as a hanging man beating upon the gallows. Whatever fear Maeve thought she had felt when she saw Astrid's form, it was merely a pebble in the raging river that was Cog's face. There was no need to speak. Cog shoved Maeve by the neck, and she stumbled to the ground. Transaction concluded. As Cog stormed away down the hall past frightened personnel, Jonathan's heart swelled with a terrible grief he did not recognize. Somehow he knew that telling her about Wylan was going to crush her. At the time, however, he merely believed he was afraid. He started after her, out the front door of the palace, and into the misty snows of Cerceval.
Cog!
He called to her.
Just go away, Jonathan,
she said back. She was walking at a pretty good clip, and Jonathan had to jog to catch up to her. He tried to get next to her, but she just marched on, her face set against the wind. She passed the warm, glowing windows of the palace, walking towards some unknown destination. They turned down pathway after pathway, and before long, Jonathan was lost among the maze-like hedges.
It can't wait, Cog.
She stopped so suddenly that Jonathan crashed against her and toppled backward. He wasn't sure why he had chased her out here, knowing that he was about to wound her further. Jonathan clambered to his feet and looked around as he brushed off. They were alone. Though the grounds were usually bustling with seeker and soldier alike, they had managed to make their way into the Seeker Memorial Gardens. Weeping stone angels surrounded the pair, the snowflakes settling upon the statuary like sleeping cats.
Why not, Jonathan? What else do you have to tell me?
She shouted.
How long have you known about Nicholas?
I learned it right before we went to rescue Maeve. I wanted to tell you then, but there was no time, said Jonathan, staring at the snow. I'm sorry.
You have no idea what I'm going through, Jonathan. Your sorrow does not begin to encompass this situation,
she snapped. He had never seen her mad before. Even in her darkest hours, she conducted herself with an unbreakable dignity. Even when things were at their most dangerous, when they faced her descendants together, she fought with unclouded vision and dispassionate eyes.
Were you and Nicholas close? Jonathan asked, hoping to get to a point where he could console her.
She turned away from him and stared up at the snowflakes. One made its way down and touched her ever so slightly upon her delicate glass eye. She didn't blink, but brushed it away with her hand in a motion like one wiping away tears.
He was my brother.
What?
Nicholas. He was my older brother. My father murdered him, trying to make him something just like me, a loyal, undying soldier. He was my father's first try.
What happened?
You know that my father was a great alchemist. He stole the kingdom from Onslade. When my father crafted a gem so fine that it could hold a soul indefinitely, he knew that he could create the ultimate assassin. Not trusting anyone, he tried by himself to transfer our souls into the device,
she said. But he tried Nicholas first, Jonathan said.
Yes, and Nicholas proved too strong for him. No one can help but resisting being ripped from their body and placed into a prison,
said Cog, sinking in her posture.
Nicholas bucked during the transfer and his gem cracked. His soul, it started to leak out of his body, and he wouldn't stop screaming.
You don't have to talk about this right now, Cog, Jonathan said, stepping closer. He touched the frozen skin of her hand and looked into her eyes. She had no heat, no smell. This close to her, he could see the tiny imperfections in her eyes, and he could almost make out the diminutive screws that secured the lenses to her irises.
It won't hurt any less to talk about it later.
Jonathan nodded, and she continued.
I wasn't in the laboratory when it happened, but you could hear the screaming for miles around. It was terrible, Jonathan. You've never heard anything like it. When my father told me what happened, I...
She paused, her breath catching.
I tried to kill him. I tried as hard as I could. He beat me back as easily as one would restrain a child. But his eyes changed. He saw that I could kill. And that pleased him. My father disappeared after that. I don't know where he went. Somehow he involved my, well...
Her voice trailed off. A chill wind moved through the garden, dusting the powder from the statues. The orange cast of the nearby lamps coming to life blazed against the blue carpet of snow. In the sky, an impenetrable shroud of gray clouds caught the silvery light from the city as they sailed through the twilight.
Somehow, he involved my lover.
Jonathan thought that he couldn't be surprised anymore. He was mistaken. Something jealous inside of him moved. Cog couldn't cry, but she gave it her closest approximation. There were no tears, but she sank to her knees, choking as she fell.
Jonathan, have you ever trusted someone? Have you ever trusted someone so completely and given them every part of you? He was a Magus, and he killed me, Jonathan.
Her eyes met Jonathan's.
My lord and lover killed me.
Jonathan felt Slade grin, but shrugged it off. The Harbinger could feel the change in Cog. She was showing him something that she had never shown anyone. Cog knelt in the fresh powder, head hung, neck exposed to the frigid air that she couldn't feel. Her hands rested upon her legs, palms up, and her dead eyes searched the clouds above. Then, as though remembering that she was on the ground with Jonathan, she inclined her defeated head to him.
So, what was so important?
She said, her voice cracking. Jonathan braced up every muscle in his body with invisible iron rods as he looked upon Cog's fallen form. His throat seized like the trigger finger of a rookie executioner. Slowly, scarcely, his voice escaped his mouth. Your lover, was his name Wylan?
Of course, Jonathan. Of course you would know something, wouldn't you?
She sighed to no one in particular.
Tell me what you know.
He attempted, but tried to come up with a better phrase. You'll see him again soon.
I don't want to.
Her anguish renewed. Cog doubled over in pain, rolling limply onto her side, and her breaths left her as coughing sobs.
I can't. I can't see him again, Jonathan.
Jonathan moved closer and knelt by her side. He touched her shoulder, but her pain didn't abate. She shook with cries, and Jonathan laid down in the frost beside her, the snow melting into his coat. Cold water seeped into his clothes and chilled his sides, but he ignored it and wrapped his arms around her. Every part of him needed to comfort her shivering body. Suddenly, she subsided as he held her against his coat, and she pressed her cheek to his chest.
It'll be all right, Cog, he said, his voice deepening into a soothing whisper. I'll be with you. You can face him and settle the score.
I don't want to settle the score.
Her voice was as smooth as water when she spoke so quietly. Why did that hurt Jonathan so much? He clenched his teeth as his stomach bawled. Then he began. Then I suppose you can work it out, and I'll be here for you when you do that too. She shoved him away, batting Jonathan's arms off her so quickly that he didn't even realize it had happened. She staggered to her feet with such a fury as Jonathan had rarely ever seen, and he clambered to his own. Cog affixed her gaze upon his, looking more hurt than ever, and marched straight at him.
You fool!
She cried. Then Jonathan's world suddenly spun and his vision flashed white. The numb side of his face reawakened with the very distinct feeling of a powerful slap. And with that, she dashed into the falling snow and the city lights beyond. Jonathan stood and watched helplessly, the feeling of her hand echoing across his face. He looked at the ground, at the imprint of their bodies, and wished that they were still there.
Now Cog knows the true identity of the Hangman, and a new depth of suffering besets her. The question is, when the battle between the Antonello children arrives, will she have the strength to fight her brother? And what about the appearance of Wyland? Find out next time on The Gearheart. The Gearheart, The Gearheart Podcast, and The Gearheart Music are copyright 2009 Alex White. Voices courtesy of Renee and Alex White. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for a message from our sponsors.
Today's podcast has been brought to you by Big Red's Golden Fiddles, your one-stop golden fiddle shop. If there's one thing that the ladies love more than old-timey bluegrass, it's golden fiddles. That's why, if you plan on siring an heir, you want to stop by Big Red's Golden Fiddles, just up the mountain, and pick up one of our sweet, sweet instruments. Ask about our one-play, no-money-down financing option. Big Red's Golden Fiddles, also selling now golden mouth hops and golden washboards. And by Dorian Gray's Timeless Portraits, because a picture is forever. Looking to enjoy life without being reminded of your age or how many murders you commit? Look no further than Dorian Gray's Timeless Portraits. You'll find top-flight hospitality in our waiting area, complete with only the finest prostitutes and opium. Dorian Gray's Timeless Portraits, classic art for the classy attic. And now, back to The Extraordinary Contraptions with The Lights. We'll be right back.